man went to buy a refrigerator. He bought the most incredible refrigerator that you could imagine. It had all the bells and whistles and then some. It was the top of the line. The store delivers a new refrigerator to his home, and he is so excited. He's got this great refrigerator. He fills it all with his food. Next morning, he goes to make breakfast, and then he notices that the milk is spoiled, the ice cream is running out of the bottom of the freezer, the vegetables are changing color. The refrigerator isn't working. He's highly upset, and he calls the store where he bought it, and he gives them a piece of his mind, and the man at the store says, "Well, I don't understand what's wrong. Open the door, see if the light comes on." He opens the door, no light. The man says, "Well, put your ear up close to the refrigerator, see if the motor's running, see if you hear the hum." Puts his ear up close, no hum, motor's not running. The man says, "Well, there's a cord at the back of the refrigerator. Can check and see if it's plugged in." The man looks behind it, and sure enough, it's not plugged in. And so he tells the man, and the man at the store says, "Well, sir, in order for your refrigerator to work, it's got to be plugged in." And the man got highly upset. He said, "For all the money I paid for this thing, it should work without being plugged in. You know, what's the matter?" Now, all of us would say, that's sort of a silly story, because obviously a refrigerator has to be plugged in order to work. That obvious to everyone. Because, of course, refrigerators are dependent things. They don't work unless they have this invisible, unseen power called electricity. It's just not going to work. Unless you plug in that cord, the food's going to spoil. Well, our spiritual lives will not run without the power of the Holy Spirit. When we start to follow Christ, God gives us everything we need to run our spiritual lives. But we have to plug into that power of the Holy Spirit, or we won't become what we want to be or what God wants us to be. We'll be like that dead refrigerator. It makes everything spoil. Last week we started on our supernatural journey, and today we're looking at the power and presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Bible tells us to be filled with the Spirit. Well, what does that really mean? And we're going to talk about why we need to be filled with the Spirit, how to be filled with the Spirit, finally, how that'll help you in your day-to-day life at work or at home. What's the practical benefits to you of being filled with the Spirit? Now, probably heard me talk about how Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship with a personal God who wants to know us and be known by us. Well, what really makes our relationship with God personal is the fact that the Holy Spirit comes to live in us. You can't get any more personal than that. I think about my relationship with my wife, Kathy. That's a personal relationship. In fact, I usually kiss Kathy when I get home from work. Now, sometimes when I get home, or when she gets home, if it's later than me, sometimes, we're a little bit stressed out and distracted by other things. So there's not always a whole lot of passion behind that kiss when we get home. But it's still appropriate for me to kiss her, whether I actually have a whole lot of feelings at that moment or not. It's still appropriate for her to kiss me, whether she's got a whole lot of feelings or passion at that moment or not. However, if when we kissed and hugged, if we never, ever felt anything, there were no emotional feelings or passion or anything at all, would that then be a problem? If I got Kathy a Valentine's card tomorrow, and husbands, if you haven't got yours yet, this is your reminder. But if I got her a card and I wrote in it, "Dear Kathy, when I look into your beautiful blue eyes, the only thing that I'm aware of is a complete deadness of my emotions, and I have no feelings at all, and there's no emotion or passion. My heart is icy cold, but I do intellectually and logically love you, simply based on the fact that we're married, and that's what I'm supposed to do. But will you be my Valentine, even though I have no emotional feelings for you at all?" Now, if I gave that card to Kathy, would she just be thrilled? Would her heart go pitter-patter with all these happy feelings about our marriage? No, I don't think so. If that's how I felt, then all of us would agree there's a terrible problem with our relationship. Well, there is a terrible problem with the relationships of many Christians toward God. Now, of course, we don't have to constantly feel passionate in our relationship with God. It's not based on feeling. But if you never feel intimate and close with God, if you never have any passion toward God, well, that indicates a problem, because that's not really a relationship, is it? U.S. News and World Report did a survey. Those who call themselves Christians in the U.S. were asked, in general, how often would you say that you have experienced God's presence or a spiritual force that felt very close to you? The results were never, 10%, once or twice, 17%, several times, 23%, many times, 49%. Now, this is people who call themselves Christian, and many times, 49%. In other words, over half of those who call themselves Christians would say that rarely do they have any experience of closeness or intimacy toward God. In other words, that's not really a personal relationship at all. And if statistics hold true, then half the people sitting here would say you rarely, if ever, have a close, intimate relationship with God. And the reason behind that, almost certainly, is that those Christians have never plugged into the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, John the Baptist predicted that Jesus would send the Holy Spirit. In Matthew 3:11, John says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now, what does that mean practically to be baptized with the Holy Spirit? Or in other words, sometimes the Bible calls it being filled with Spirit. Same thing. Well, baptism in water simply means to be immersed in water. Baptism in the Holy Spirit means to be immersed in the Holy Spirit. Or in other words, completely under the influence of the Holy Spirit or controlled by the Holy Spirit. Well, next question, how does that happen? How are you baptized or filled with the Spirit? How do you get plugged into God's power? Well, different parts of the church today would look at this and actually argue a lot about this, about the timing of when somebody gets plugged in. Depending on what kind of church background you come from, you may have heard one of two things. If you're from like a Baptist or Methodist or Presbyterian or Church of Christ background, you were taught that you get plugged into the power of the Holy Spirit at conversion, and there is no second experience or filling after that point. If you're from a Pentecostal or charismatic denomination, you were taught that you get plugged into that power source after conversion through a second experience called a baptism or filling of the Holy Spirit. If you're from a Catholic background, then that church is sort of split. You know, there's parts that believe each. And of course, both groups could bring out all of their favorite scriptures to prove exactly when it is that you get plugged into the power of the Holy Spirit, and they'll fight and argue about it all day long. But you know the truth, I don't really care when you get plugged into the power of the Holy Spirit, as long as you do get plugged into the power of the Holy Spirit. To my Baptist friend who says, well, I received the power of the Holy Spirit at my conversion, and I'd say, well, that's great, but I'd simply ask, have you gotten all the power of the Holy Spirit that you need for your daily life? And is that power readily apparent and visible in your life? And to my Pentecostal friend who would say, well, I had a second experience when I was baptized with the Holy Spirit, I would say, well, that is great. But I would ask them, are you still using that power? Is it changing your life? Are you living a life of joy and peace and love? Or was it like a one-time experience years ago and now has little impact on your life? Let me use an example. Say you're homeless. You're living in a shelter. You've got no car. You can't afford an apartment. No money at all. But then, one day, your rich uncle leaves you $1 million. And it's in a bank account, and the bank sends you the checkbook. And you are so thrilled, you're excited. Whoa, what a great gift. A few weeks later, one of your relatives comes by to visit and to rejoice with you over this great thing that's happened. And he finds that you're still in a homeless shelter. And he says, What in the world are you still doing in this shelter? You're a millionaire now. You know, you've got all kinds of money, but you're still living in a shelter in poverty with nothing. What is up with that? And you say, well, I know that I've got all that money in the bank, but I haven't figured out how to write a check. Well, that'd be sort of dumb, wouldn't it? For those of you who've been filled with the Spirit, have you been writing checks on your account? Are you using the power and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, or are you still living in spiritual poverty? Theoretically, you know the money's there in your account, but are you spending it? Are you living in the power of the Holy Spirit? Some of my Pentecostal friends can describe exactly when they got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and usually for them that experience involves the experience of speaking in tongues. But getting plugged into the power of the Holy Spirit is about a whole lot more than just what Paul calls the least of the gifts. And so my question is, does your life demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit in every area? You see, the timing of when we're filled is not the key. The issue is this a first experience or a second experience or an 18th experience? You know, that doesn't really matter. The issue is, are you living each day in the power of the Holy Spirit? Is it working in your life? Is it blessing you right now, today, and every day? Now, there's two misconceptions that people have about being filled with the Spirit. The first misconception is that if I'm a Christian, I'm already filled with the Spirit. Now, that is partially true. If you're a Christian, you do have the Holy Spirit living in you, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, Paul says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." Now, Paul is telling Christians here, don't get drunk, but be filled with the Spirit. Why would he tell them to be filled with the Spirit? Well, because they're not, right? There's a lot of Christians who have the Holy Spirit living in them. They're believers, but they don't allow the Holy Spirit to fill them so that they're controlled and empowered and guided by the Holy Spirit. So how are you filled with the Spirit? Well, the Bible says it's very simple. You ask God. Luke 11:11, Jesus says, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Now, the second misconception is that once you've been filled or baptized in the Holy Spirit, you stay filled. And that's not necessarily true either. When I'm filled with the Spirit, I'm controlled and influenced in all I do by the Holy Spirit, but I can take back control. I can stop doing what the Holy Spirit wants. I can start doing what my old selfish desires want me to. And that means that after we've been filled, then it becomes a process of allowing the Holy Spirit to continually remain in control of our lives or to be filled on a daily basis so that that power is present in our lives. You know, I look back to when I was about 16 years old is the time that I was first really filled with the Holy Spirit. I grew up in a Baptist church, and so that wasn't a part of our normal vocabulary back then, but when I was 16, I was in small groups, people prayed for me, and it was very obvious and clear to me and to everybody around me that I was filled at that point. I just received this amazing burst of energy that lasted for months, maybe a year. I could not get enough of God. I was studying my Bible all the time, going to Bible studies, and he's praying, and just enormous growth. But you know what? That didn't last forever. A couple years later, and in fact was probably sooner than that, I was back at sort of a low point in my life. I'd gone off to college and gotten out of fellowship, and I was sort of a miserable believer at that point. And so there had to be times of refilling after that so that I would continue to allow the Holy Spirit to give me power to live for him. In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, the Bible tells us that Peter and 120 other Christians were filled with the Spirit. This is the great day of Pentecost. That was the first time that they were filled. But then several other times later on in the Bible, we see that they were filled again. One example of that is Acts 4:31. It's talking about Peter, John, and the other disciples here. It says, after they prayed, the place that they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. So they were filled again. And this happened a number of times after that initial baptism at the day of Pentecost. And what this tells us is that being filled isn't a once-for-all time thing. There is a first experience of being filled or baptized, but then continuous times of being filled afterwards. Billy Graham wrote a book called The Holy Spirit. Let me read you what he says. Anyone who is not filled with the Spirit is a defective Christian. Paul's command, be filled with the Spirit, is binding on all of us Christians everywhere in every age. There are no exceptions. The command to be filled with the Spirit actually means to be continuously filled. We are not filled once for all like a bucket. Instead, we are to be filled constantly. It might be translated, be filled and keep on being filled. Well then, how are we filled with the Spirit? Well, obviously you have to ask. We already saw that. But there's more to it than that. There are some attitudes that are critical to being filled with the Spirit. The first attitude that's critical to be filled with the Spirit is total dependence. Listen to what Charles Stanley writes. The Spirit-filled life begins when? Once we are absolutely and thoroughly convinced that we can do nothing apart from the strength of the Holy Spirit. A realization that we are absolutely helpless and hopeless apart from the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. So the first attitude that's critical is total dependence. The second attitude is total surrender. To be filled with the Spirit really means that you are empowered and controlled by the Holy Spirit. And in order to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, that requires surrendering all of your life to Him. You just will not be filled with the Spirit until you come to the point where you are willing to allow God to be in control of all your life and you put it under His control. Now, what does the Holy Spirit do for us when we are filled? Well, He does many things in our lives. I want to focus on three of the most important things this morning. First, the Holy Spirit will guide me. John 16:13 says, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. And this guidance can look like a lot of things. Sometimes the guidance involves specifically where to go and when to do. We see this in Acts 16:6. Paul and his companions traveled through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they're traveling around, and somebody says, hey, let's go over to Asia. But then the Holy Spirit tells them, and this was probably through thought or word or prophecy, some kind of thing, it doesn't tell us, but the Holy Spirit says, no, that's a bad idea. You don't want to go there. And so they keep traveling on, and they get to the border of Bithynia. And they're getting ready to cross, and then the Holy Spirit says, no, you don't want to go there either. Something bad's going to happen if you go there. And so the Spirit was telling them where to go and what to do. Sometimes the guidance is a specific action. We see this in Acts 8:29. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Now, Philip probably had no idea why the Spirit was telling him to go stand over by that chariot. But he just did it. Sometimes the guidance is wisdom in how to speak. Acts 6:9 says, they began to argue with Stephen, but they could not stand up against the wisdom the Spirit gave him as he spoke. Sometimes as you're speaking, the Spirit will give you words to say, and later on you say, whoa, where did that come from? I didn't even know that. But He gives you wisdom in your words. Now, think about in your life, if you were filled with the Spirit when you're making financial decisions. Wouldn't that be great? And you're thinking, well, I wonder if I should invest in this. The Holy Spirit says, no, that's probably not a good idea. Or I wonder if I should buy this car. No, don't buy that one over there. That'll last longer. Or wouldn't that be great? Or when you're at work and the Holy Spirit guides you to do things that'll make you more successful at work. Or when you're with your kids and you're trying to make good decisions, wise decisions for them, and the Holy Spirit guides you. You know what? That is exactly what the Holy Spirit does when you are filled with the Spirit. In fact, all those areas, the Holy Spirit has guided me in the past. The Holy Spirit will guide you in every area of life if you'll allow Him to fill you. I want to have Susan Hull come up. Where are you at, Susan? Okay, yeah. She's going to share something with us.
Good morning. Like you said, I'm Susan, and I'm on the prayer team here at the Vineyard. And this is Jeff, and he's been hanging out with us for about 2 years. And about 3 weeks ago, he came up for prayer, and we had an awesome Holy Spirit experience. When he came up, he shared with me a little bit about what he wanted me to pray about. And I started to pray. And some people don't close their eyes. I have to, because that's how God talks to me. And so I closed my eyes and I started praying, and I asked the Holy Spirit to come and to fill us both up. And all I can say is, wow. The Holy Spirit came, and it was just this overwhelming presence of just love and peace, and I just felt overwhelmed to the point where tears were just started pouring down my face. And it actually made, it kind of caught my breath, and I couldn't talk for a second, which takes a lot, so you know it was God. Anyway, it kind of took my breath for a second, and all of a sudden, I started seeing specific words. And these words were, like I said, just very clear, and I knew that the Holy Spirit was guiding me on exactly what to say, exactly what to pray, and exactly, like, talking through me to Jeff. And it was just like, wow, it was just really powerful. And I was just, you know, hoping that it wasn't just me. And so when we got done praying, I looked at Jeff and I'm like, did you feel that? And I'm going to let him tell his side of the story now.
And I certainly did. That morning, before I come to church, I was driving from home and I was praying to God on the way there because I had needed a job. I've been looking for a job for about 8 months. I had been from a couple of jobs that didn't last very long because of either I didn't like the employment or I just had a problem with people there. And so I've been looking for a real nice job for about 8 months. And so I was asking God for things, talking to Him. And then when Susan was praying with me, she was repeating the exact words, if not the exact phrases, back to me while praying. And so when she'd asked me if I felt that, I was like, yeah, I did. It was really cool. And then later that day, I was online looking for a job around the Oxford area where I go to school, and the first thing that pops up is a Chipotle ad, and I felt guided by that because now I have a job there. I had gone on the Tuesday of that week, applied, came in the next day for two interviews, and then got hired, and it had only been a matter of 3 days since I had prayed with Susan, and I already have a job, and I've been working there for about 2 weeks already, and it's just been great. But just after all that happened, after I got a job, just realized how much the Holy Spirit had come in at that time and said, hey, I'm going to help you out since you're allowing me to come in.
And what he had shared with me, that, you know, he had been praying on the way to church that morning, and the fact that God repeated back to him exactly what he had prayed to God that morning, it just kind of confirmed to both of us that the Holy Spirit was just completely guiding both of us through this entire situation. So anyway, I was sitting at Wendy's eating dinner on Wednesday night after we had prayed together, and I get this text. And it's Jeff texting me that he got a job. So I'm in Wendy's going, praise God. Anyway, that's it. Thanks for
All
listening.
Right. Thank you. The Holy Spirit will guide me. Second, the Holy Spirit will encourage me. John 16:6, Jesus says, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the Comforter won't come. If I do go away, then I will send Him to you. The word comforter there is actually the Greek word paraclete, and there really isn't a direct translation from that into English. Sometimes it's translated comforter, sometimes encourager, sometimes advocate, sometimes simply friend. But the idea is that no matter what your day is like, no matter how stressed out you are, no matter how many problems you have, no matter if your boss is acting like a jerk or your kids are screaming or you got a bill in the mail that you can't pay or your back is killing you, no matter what, you have a comforter or encourager who's with you all the time, who can help you deal with anything that comes along during the day. That's one of the benefits of the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know about you, sometimes when I get up in the morning, I am stressed out already before I get my first cup of coffee because, you know, I'm thinking about all the things I got to do that day and all the meetings or whatever, you know, that I have, and, you know, I'm already stressed out, so I need some encouragement, like every day. And the Holy Spirit does that by reminding me, Ken, I'm in control. I can handle things even when you can't. I've got the power to do things when you don't. You know, I'm in control even though you're not. He says, you can trust me. Don't worry about it, Ken. That's a form of encouragement that we all need. You know, Jesus calls the Holy Spirit the paraclete, as I said, comforter, encourager. Why? Because Jesus knew that as human beings, that is one of the primary things that we need. We all need somebody to be with us because it doesn't matter if you live in a family with 18 people. There are times when you just feel alone, don't you? There's times when you feel like nobody quite understands what you're going through or what you're facing. And so Jesus says, I'm going to send this comforter to you who will always be there, always understand, and always encourage you. You know, maybe for some of you, Valentine's Day isn't such a happy holiday. You know, for some of us, maybe it reminds us that, you know, our romantic life isn't quite all that we'd like it to be or all that we dreamed or imagined. And you know, maybe life has left you a little bit short in that area, at least for right now. But whether for that reason or for another, there will probably be a time this week when you're sad about something. Maybe it's a little thing, maybe a big thing. Maybe you'll be sitting in a hospital room with somebody, or maybe your marriage is under pressure, or maybe you lost a job, or somebody you love is suffering, or you're dealing with a hurt or addiction. But then, during that time of sadness, out of seemingly nowhere, there's going to be a thought that comes to you that God is with you. And that's going to be the Holy Spirit. Maybe it'll come from a scripture that you read, or maybe from a friend, or something in a book, or just a thought that comes to you. But the source is really the Holy Spirit, because that's what the Spirit does for us. That's one of His jobs, is to encourage and comfort us. So the Holy Spirit guides me. He encourages me. Third, the Holy Spirit will empower me. In 1963, the Navy was testing a new submarine called the Thresher. It was one of the first nuclear submarines, and it was also the most advanced version because it had this extra thick, heavy steel armor plate, so it could dive deeper than any submarine that had gone before. Well, unfortunately, on a test run off the Atlantic coast, an electrical short in the engine caused the nuclear engine to shut down. And without power, the submarine wasn't able to gain headway to come back to the surface, and so it started sinking deeper and deeper and deeper. And eventually, even those heavy steel bulkheads weren't able to withstand the pressure, and it was crushed. All 129 men aboard were lost. The Navy searched for the Thresher with a research craft that they lowered into the ocean on a cable. They found the Thresher at a depth of 8,400 feet, a mile and a half down, crushed like an eggshell, because the pressure at that depth is 3,600 pounds per square inch. Now, what was surprising to the researchers when they got to that depth in 1963 was that they saw fish swimming all around at that huge depth. And these fish didn't have thick armor plate to withstand the pressure. No, I had just normal skin, fraction of an inch thick, and didn't seem to bother them at all. You know, they're wondering, why aren't these fish crushed by that enormous pressure? And what they came to understand is that fish have a secret. Their secret is that they have the same pressure inside as they do on the outside. As they go deeper, they simply equalize the pressure. Let me tell you, that is the secret of a joy-filled Christian life. You see, we all live under enormous pressure in this society. We have financial pressure, pressure from the economy, the job and career pressure, fears about our health, and fears about our family and our future. We have peer pressure. We have time pressure. We have pressure from our boss, pressure from our kids who want things. There's enormous pressure out there, and it will crush us and steal the joy from our lives. But we can equalize the pressure by simply inviting the Holy Spirit inside to fill us. 1 John 4:4 says, "You have already won a victory because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world." When the Holy Spirit fills us, He equalizes the pressure and gives us the power to face anything that might come along. In Acts 1:8, Jesus says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." What kind of power? You know, I could spend months just teaching about all the different kinds of power that the Holy Spirit brings to our life. For example, the scripture tells us this Holy Spirit can control what I think about. If I have problem controlling thoughts like lust and envy, fear, revenge, bitterness, etc., the Holy Spirit gives me power to control those thoughts. The Holy Spirit also gives me power to live a holy life. The Spirit gives me power for ministry so that I can do things I wouldn't ordinarily be able to do. He gives me different kinds of spiritual gifts so that I can bless others and minister to others. The Spirit gives us power to do the supernatural. For example, when we pray for healing or pray for jobs, things like that. He gives us the power to share the good news with others. He gives us the right words to say at the right time. He gives us power in every area of life. But most of all, He gives us the power to change so that we can live the kind of life that we want and hope for. Now let's make this practical and then we're going to close. But this week there will be times that you'll be tempted to give up on something that God has shown you that He wants you to do. But I want you to remember this. The Holy Spirit is in you, and if you ask Him, He will fill you, and He'll give you the energy you need, and He'll give you the strength you need. When that time comes this week, simply turn to Him and ask Him, "Holy Spirit, fill me." This week, there will be times when you'll be tempted to do something that you know is sin, and you'll be given strength by the Holy Spirit to do the right thing instead. There will be times this week when you're at work or at home or in your neighborhood or wherever, and somebody will need help. And the thought will come to you, you know what? I can do that. I can help them. Not my own strength, but with the Holy Spirit's power and energy in me, I can do that. You see, what we're talking about here is not trying to work harder, not trying to do more and add to your already full schedule. We're talking about simply walking with the Spirit, gaining energy and power from Him on a daily basis, simply asking Him for help. Instead of trying harder, we say, "God, I'm tempted. I'm tired. I need Your energy. I need Your strength. So Holy Spirit, since You're living in me, please fill me and give me Your power, Your strength. Guide me. Encourage me. Empower me." Because Holy Spirit, You're the one who has all the power. Let's stand for prayer. I'd like our worship band to come up for a closing song. Holy Spirit, we ask You to come right now. We ask that You will fall on this place and fill every person here. We proclaim right now that we are dependent on You. We can't do anything good in our own power. And we surrender to You. We want you to be in control of all of our lives. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you will fill and refill and continually be filling each of us this week. Will you guide us each day and encourage us each day and empower us each day? Give us a desire and a passion to draw closer to God. And as we do, we ask that all of your blessings will flow into our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.